Good morning, and thank you for tuning into Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri. Located just northwest of the new shopping center on the North Belt Highway, we would like to invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study, 10:20 for worship, 4 p.m. in the afternoon for worship, and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. This morning I would like to talk to you, first of all, concerning holiness. As we study about our Creator, we find that one of His attributes is holiness. There are many passages in His Word. Exodus 15 and verse 11, for example, says, "Who is like unto Thee, O Jehovah, among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" In Revelation 4 and verse 8, we read, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." The holiness of God is a purity of substance. God is holy in that He is the source and standard of right. God is holy in that His infinite moral excellence affirms and asserts itself as the highest possible motive and end. God's holiness, then, has to do with sinlessness, doing all things right. In fact, because of God's holiness, no sin could ever be tolerated in His presence. This is why those that are going to spend an eternity with God in heaven will be holy. This is why we are exhorted to become holy, for ye shall be holy, for I am holy. This is where law comes in. God is the author of law. Law comes from God, and there is no occasion for law unless there is some power beyond law. And of course, that ultimate power is God Himself. God's nature is the standard of law. We need to realize also that sin is actually lawlessness. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, we read this: "Everyone that doeth sin doeth also lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." And so we see very clearly that sin is lawlessness, and moreover, that we all have sinned, from passages like Romans 5:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The purity, the holiness of God, is lost in man when he first sins. And man needs desperately to be holy in the sight of his Creator, Jehovah God. God's plan to make man holy again. That's what we want to think about. Let it be known that man does not have the power to make himself holy without adhering to God's law. So God sent His only begotten Son to proclaim the words of eternal life and give Himself as the supreme sacrifice, that you and I might be able to become holy in God's sight. And of course, the passage in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now that belief there is not faith only, as many people are led to believe today. And so if you read on through the rest of the chapter in John 3, for example, let's look at verse 21 of John 3, where it says there, "He that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been wrought in God." And then the last verse, verse 36 of John chapter 3, "He that believeth on the Son has eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him." So we understand that believing is more than just a mental belief and acceptance of Christ as a Savior. It involves doing the truth. And so that's why Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." But when does a person who is in sin, in other words, an alien sinner, as the Bible indicates, when does this person become holy in the sight of God? First, let us notice the meaning of holiness in relation to man. Basically, it means separation to God. Another word that is used is sanctification. This is why Christians are referred to as saints. That's set apart in the New Testament. They are those who have been set apart unto God. And so we read passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, where it says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, even them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place, their Lord and ours. And so we ask the question, since people here are sanctified, and those are the ones that are in Christ Jesus, those are the ones that are called to be saints, with all that call upon the name of the Lord, how does one get into Christ Jesus, since that is where one is sanctified? Well, the answer is found in passages such as Galatians chapter 3, and verse 27. There we read, For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. And so that's very clear. For as many as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. One must be baptized into Christ. Just as the account of Saul obeying the gospel in Acts 22 and verse 16, where Ananias said, Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. And so we see very clearly that since Jesus Christ shed his blood in his death, this is the only way that we can reach his soul-saving blood, is through baptism into his death. And so we read in Romans chapter 6, which is a very clear passage concerning this subject, Romans chapter 6, and we'll read verses 3 through 7. It says, Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, so that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that hath died is justified from sin. So through obedience, dear listener, to God's law, we through baptism are freed from bondage to sin. This is when man is sanctified and justified, or made holy in the sight of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, looking at verses 9 through 11, we read this, Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. And then also looking on down, as we continue here, the next thought I wanted to look at is another thought here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 26 and 27. To go along with that passage, Ephesians 5, 26 and 27, concerning Christ, he gave himself up for the church, verse 25, Verse 26, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The question I have for you, dear listeners, have you been made holy through the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you been scripturally baptized into Christ to reach that blood? Then if you haven't, why not purify your soul in your obedience to the truth, as 1 Peter 1:22 points out? We then also find that Christians must continually work to be more holy every day. Holiness conveys a separation from the world and a consecration to God. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians this time and start at verse 17 of chapter 6. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and beginning at verse 17. It says, "Wherefore come you out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." That means, dear listener, that everyone who claims to be a follower of Christ, a Christian, must be working to perfect holiness. But remember, our being holy doesn't mean we are sinless as Christ was, but it means that we are to seek after being right and perfect to the best of our ability. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verses 13 through 17. Beginning of verse 13 of 1 Peter 1, "Wherefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober, and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts in the time of your ignorance, but like as he who called you is holy, be ye yourselves also holy in all manner of living. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to each man's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear." Now the fellow that says he is perfect, and he means sinless, that person doesn't know the Word of God. In 1 John chapter 1, and looking at verses 8 and 10, it very clearly there tells us, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Again, verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." But we must present ourselves to God to do his will if we wish to grow in holiness. Romans 6:19 tells us, "Present your members as servants to righteousness unto sanctification." So let's put it plain and simple, dear listener. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to live forever with the great, wonderful Creator of the universe? Do you want to live with him who died for you? Do you want to be where he is, where all good is? Then you must become good also. You must seek to become holy, for without this holiness, without this sanctification, none of us can ever be with the Lord. Passages like Hebrews 12:14 tell us this. Romans chapter 6 and verse 22 also. Now let's look at Romans 6 and verse 22. Romans 6 and verse 22 tells us, "But now being made free from sin and become servants, you have become servants of to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification and the end eternal life." We plead with you, dear listener, to seek to become holy in the sight of God by doing his bidding and his bidding alone. You are listening to Bible Talk on KFEQ 680 AM, which is presented by the County Line Church of Christ, meeting at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads, located just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. And we invite you to worship with us again, 9:30 this morning for Bible study and 10:20 for worship. Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m., and then Wednesday evenings at 7 for Bible study. If you would like to receive a Bible correspondence course through the mail, please leave your name and address at 816-279-4737, and we will mail one out, the beginning of the correspondence course, to you free of charge. That's 816-279-4737. If you would like to have a home Bible study, please leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible and set that study up. Next thing I would like to look at this morning is that we must learn to deny self. And the text for this thought, which goes along with being holy in the sight of God, I've selected Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. So in Luke 9 and verse 23, this is a very clear passage for us to understand. There it says, in Luke 9 and verse 23. Okay, I've got to get in the right book here. Mark's not going to work, so let me get over to Luke real quick here. In Luke 9, 23, and he said unto him, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So I want to look at these thoughts. What does it actually mean to deny self? Is this something that I must do in order to go to heaven? These are some of the questions you may have concerning a person denying himself. As always, we only have one place to go to find the answers, and that is God's holy word, the Bible. So first of all, we look at if any will come after me. We first need to notice that we must will to come after Jesus. More literally, this passage says, if any wills to come after me, or as the New American Standard Version says, if anyone wishes to come after me. Dear friends, it's up to us to want to come to Jesus. No one can force you to give up your life to him, and you cannot serve him if you do not want to. You may not want to do the will of your Creator at this time, but I bid you to think about it. God gave you life and being. He makes it possible for us to exist. It is unfortunate that many today forget, as the Apostle Peter states in 2 Peter 3 and verse 5, that there were heavens from of old, and an earth compacted out of water and amidst water by the Word of God. And thus, whether you wish to admit it or not, the facts still remain that God made the worlds through Jesus Christ His Son, who is at this very moment upholding all things by the word of his power. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. And it's stated like this in Colossians 1 and verses 16 and 17, where there it says, for in him, that is in Christ, were all things created in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through him and unto him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And so, in reality, you and I are breathing this very moment because of the power of our Creator. Your heart is beating automatically, strong and continuously because of His almighty strength, not yours. You are listening to this radio broadcast through the powers of your hearing abilities that God gave you. Aren't these reasons enough to want to seek after God to do His will in order to please Him? But even more important is the fact that Jesus Christ died for you. He shed His blood in order that you might have the opportunity to obey Him by denying yourself, by taking up your cross, and following Him daily. Without His death, burial, and resurrection, dear listener, doing these things would be quite useless. In fact, we're told that over in Titus, the third chapter, verses 3 through 7. And let's read that at this time, Titus chapter 3, 3 through 7. There it says, for we also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love toward man appeared, not by works done in righteousness which we did ourselves, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Jesus brought the Father's word to us so that we might learn what we must do in order to be pleasing unto Him. And so Jesus tells us back in the book of John in chapter 7 and looking at verse 17 of that book, chapter John 7 and verse 17. There he says, if any man willeth to do his will, he shall know of the teaching whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. So we must will to do His will. Do you, dear listener, will to do the will of your Creator? If so, then you are on the right path to let Jesus reconcile you back to the Father. But if not, then your sins will eternally separate you from your Creator, and eternal destruction will then be your choice. Many passages show this. We'll turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 9, because it's very clear there through the inspired writer. He says, "And to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with the angels of His power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might." The next thing we see is that we are to deny self. Let him deny himself. Here we see man's free will in operation. Don't believe the person who tells you there's nothing one can do to be saved. Jesus says the opposite. Remember Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." We find over in Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12, the inspired writer there makes this comment. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world." And so anything that would hinder us from doing the will of God must be renounced. All ungodliness, all worldly lust must be denied. Do you love your Savior enough to give up things that are not pleasing in His sight? Will you deny yourself and seek to go to heaven? Or will you continue to engage in those things which are wrong and in the end eternally lose your own soul? You know, Paul was making comment about this concerning himself. And he said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27 that he says, "I buffet my body," or "I bruise it, I bring it into bondage, lest any means after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." The next thing we find in our text is that he says, "And take up his cross daily." Now, dear listener, the life of a Christian is not all roses. There are some thorns to be dealt with. But woe unto the coward who will not follow Jesus for fear of man. There are so many passages that warn us about this. Let's go back to Luke and look at Luke's account of this in the 12th chapter. And we're going to look at Luke 12 and verse 4 and 5. In Luke 12, verses 4 and 5, we read there, as Jesus speaks, he says, "I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that they have no more they can do. But I will warn you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Woe unto him that is too busy laying up material treasure in this life to follow Jesus. And that's what many people are involved in doing. And of course, there's many warnings for us as we study God's word, as he guides us through this life. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is dealing with this. And he says, beginning at verse 19 through 21, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And then let's go on down to 24, where he says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God, both God and mammon." Then down in verse 33, he says, "But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus took up his cross of suffering and shame for us, dear listener, and he asks us to take up our cross, whether it involves pain, suffering, humility, embarrassment, or whatever might come our way as a result of following him. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 10:38, "He that doth not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Dear listener, are you the right kind of follower of Christ? Would you die for him and his teachings if need be? Well, that's what it says in Revelation 2:10. be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life. Now that Greek term there is to the point of death, even to the point of losing your life to stand for the truth. Notice also that this is a daily religion in our text. It's not once or twice a year, or even once or twice a week, but it's a daily affair. We are to constantly be involved in walking by the Spirit instead of according to the flesh. In Colossians chapter 3, and looking at verses 1 through 3, it says, "If or since then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also with him be manifested in glory." If we are true followers of Christ, having been buried with him through baptism into his death, and raised together with him, then the old man of sin was crucified, and we've looked at that already this morning in Romans 6, 3 through 6. I would encourage you to go back to that and study it very carefully, because most people today are being taught that we're saved when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, and some say when you say a sinner's prayer, which is not in the New Testament. But if you'll look at Romans 6, verses 3 through 6, it's very clear there that the only way we can actually reach the blood of Christ, to have the old man of sin crucified by the washing of the blood of Christ, washing away of our sins and creating us to be a new creature in Christ Jesus, is when we're scripturally baptized into Christ. And so this is when we are supposed to have been crucified. And this is when we crucify the evil lusts of our flesh. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. And of course, we don't have the time to go into other scriptures, but there are many scriptures you can find in your New Testament concerning these thoughts. And verse 24 says, "They that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lust thereof." We can't be involved in the fruit of the flesh. We have to be involved in the fruit of the Spirit. We have to walk by the Spirit, and we can't walk by the flesh. We can't follow the mind of the flesh, but we have to let the Word of God guide us in and through the mind of the Spirit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then last of all, he says, "And follow me." And follow me. If we follow Jesus, then we will be involved in some suffering. That's a guarantee in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. "Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." But you know, Jesus Christ has gone before us. He gives us the way. And so passages like 1 Peter chapter 2 and looking at verses 21 through 25 give us this truth. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 25. "Hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, threatened not, but committed to himself, to him that judges righteously," committed himself to him who judges righteously, "who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For we were all going astray like sheep, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls." Dear friends, will you deny self? Will you follow Jesus? Will you take up your cross daily and seek to put him first in your life and do his will above everything else? We appreciate you tuning in this morning and listening to Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joe, Missouri. We would encourage you to worship with us 9:30 this morning, Bible study and 10:20 worship, 4 p.m. this afternoon. We encourage you to study your Bible and tune in next week at 8 a.m., the Lord willing, for Bible Talk. Thank you and have a nice day.